Friends of Christ and family of Bethlehem, return to the Lord. This is our Lenten theme, both Sundays and Wednesdays, as we look to God's Word. Return to the Lord. It's not just a command, it's actually an invitation. Return to Him, because He's got His arms open wide. Now, as we reflect on this particular word from the Lord, one way of describing how we can return to the Lord is to turn, right? We've got to turn back if we are called to return. Turn and see something about Jesus and our God. If you come here on Wednesdays, you can see the things in which we can turn from. But Sundays, today, we get to see the ways in which we can turn to see what God is already doing. Now, in today's worship, we hear in particular something very important. In our Christian faith, we call them the two main teachings of God's Word. Anybody want to take a crack at what the two main teachings of the whole Bible are? Anybody want to raise your hand? I'll tell you. Law and Gospel. It's as simple as that. Law and Gospel. If you come here, you can expect to hear both at any message, at any time here in worship. Law and Gospel. Today we hear it in particular where we hear it of God's law proclaimed in the Old Testament, given to Moses on those two stone tablets, the Ten Commandments. That is God's law to the team. Now, how can we see that as a good thing, though? Right? We always think we're told a commandment to do something. It's almost like we're shirking back, like we're told we're doing something wrong, right? I don't want you to tell me not to do something because I'm going to want to do it. You tell somebody, don't take that piece of candy, I'm going to take it at least 9 times out of 10. So when you talk about the Ten Commandments as something good that we can see about God, one way for you today is to see it as God's protection. So far in this season of Lent, we talked about what we see about God. We see His plan given to our ancestor Abraham. We talked about the promise that He would make Abraham fruitful among the nations, and that we would be called children of God as well, that promise. Today, we talk about the protection of God. We call God our Father, and on purpose, because that is the model we have of His strong arms covering and protecting us, making sure that nothing can get to us. That the world and its evils and its harms can't hurt us. That's what it means to be inside the lines of God's law, His protection. And that's a good thing. Now, I want to talk a little bit about that. Today, we talk about the Ten Commandments. And what's really helpful, moms and dads especially, in our Christian doctrine, we teach kids what this means through the catechism. Some of you are going through confirmation class to understand what does it mean to be a believer? What does it mean for me to be baptized and believe in God? This is a handbook to describe just those things. And one of them is the Ten Commandments. And for us to see them not as a drag, but as a positive thing, it's a really helpful explanation. What does it mean that we should not have no other gods? It means that we can fear and love God and trust in Him above all things. If you put your trust in your money, guess what happens? Sooner or later, it's going to go bye-bye. It happens. You put your trust in maybe your spouse. Guess what? Sometimes spouses don't actually live up to their promises, sadly. If we put our trust in our homes, guess what? The furnace might go out in winter. See what we're getting at? But what's good about God's commandments is that He tells us that we can look to Him because He is faithful and that He is the ultimate one that we can trust in. He never lets us down. Number two, don't misuse the name of the Lord. It's a commandment, but it comes with a promise. We should fear and love God so that we can call upon it in every time of trouble. in our prayer and praying and giving thanks. Imagine life where you have never, ever said a prayer. Can you think of a time? Maybe you're about to take a really hard test, and you decide, I ain't going to get through this unless it's God helping me. Maybe it's a pretty challenging sports competition. You said a prayer. Maybe it was before you were up on the altar before your wedding day. You said a prayer. Let me get through this without crying out of joy. Maybe you said a prayer when you were about to try to pay off a mortgage bill and you're about to be late. God gives us that ability to call upon Him in faith. That's a good thing. It's how He protects us. Third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. It's a commandment with a promise, because when we do that, we hold God's word sacred. We admire and we appreciate and honor the servants and teachers that God gives us. Our teachers and Sunday school pastors, musicians even, the people that make worship happen. We fulfill that commandment. And you can see this continue on, the promises. Honor your father and mother. I guarantee you none of us kept this commandment. But we should have, and we can, because when we do, when we honor our parents and other authorities, guess what? That's included. That means police officers, that means governors, that means presidents, even if we don't like them. When we follow the fourth commandment, that makes the world go round the way God intended. You go through the whole list, murdering. Doesn't this mean killing people? It means you have the ability to take care of one another. Put the best construction on words. You see, God's commands aren't just a way for God to put His thumb down on us and make us less than. That's not a kind of God that we have. He's our Father. And He does these things because He wants to protect us and protect you, because guess what? On your own, we're going to royally mess it up. We can't live this life without trust in God and His protection. Now, as I was thinking about this again today, the positive nature that we can see God in His law, I actually came across a few words by a man named Dennis Prager. He teaches online courses called Prager U. You might have heard about it online. He happens to be a modern-day Jew. Now, for us as Christians, he has some pretty important things about law and gospel. He says this, imagine for a moment a world in which there were no murder or theft. Wouldn't it be great? In such a world, there would be no need for armies or police or weapons. Men and women and children could walk anywhere at any time of day or night without any fear of being killed or even robbed. Imagine further a world in which no one envied what belonged to someone else. A world in which children actually honored their parents. And the family unit thrived. A world in which people, including the news, did not lie. You see, this is a recipe for a good world. And it's all there in the Ten Commandments. No document in the history of our world changed the world for the better more than the Ten Commandments from our God. You see, in Western civilization, the civilization that developed universal human rights, created women's equality, ended slavery, created democracy, among other unique achievements, none of that would have developed without the Ten Commandments from our God. Now, just earlier this week, I talked to one of our high school youth about having some issues at school where, even though we come from a tradition of faith, a lot of kids in school just maybe gave up on God. Maybe they had a few years of Sunday school or church and maybe forgotten it. They might have been confirmed even, got through middle school, but then just decided, that ain't for me anymore, I'm done, I'm graduating. One of our youth has friends like that and he's struggling with how do we reconcile when our friends say we can trust in science and that God doesn't even exist because it's all just made up stories in the Bible. go back to maybe other people, maybe adults saying that to us, is simply to look at the alternative. What if they are right? What if God did not exist? What if God didn't give us a law that protects us? What if? Take away every ounce of meaning that you have, any ounce of identity, who you are. You would be no better than a rock sitting outside. When you take away God, you take away your meaning and your worth and your identity. The reason why a lot of us in our world, including our high school kids, our youth, and even adults, choose to ignore God and say that he doesn't exist, or kind of explain it away by using science, is because they don't want to have to be accountable to somebody. Deep down in our heart, we want to be our own God. And we try to ignore it, but we know better. So we talk about the Ten Commandments, there is a catch. The Ten Commandments are predicated on the belief that they were given by a higher authority. Not you, not me, not any of us. Not by any king or government. That's why it's really important. That first sentence, if you called it in our Old Testament reading, God spoke all these words. You see, if the Ten Commandments, as great as they are, as a law, if they were given by anybody else, any other human, like Moses even, we would always have the tendency to say, who is this guy that he should tell me what to do? Who is this king? Who is this queen? Who is this government that has any authority over me? I'm better than them. I know more than them. Okay. So why is God indispensable in giving us this moral code? Because to put it as directly as possible, if it isn't God who declares murder wrong, murder isn't wrong. Why not? And you can go through any list. The fact of the matter is God does tell us. And we need God to tell us how to live. You see, if you figured out that murder is wrong all on your own, without God and the Ten Commandments, how do you know that it's wrong? Ever think about that? Not believe that something is wrong, but know that it's wrong. The fact is, you can't. Because without God, right and wrong are just merely personal beliefs and opinions. Personal opinions. I think shoplifting is okay. You don't. Whoop-de-doo. Unless there's a God, all morality is just opinions and beliefs. And virtually, guess what? Every other atheist, people that don't believe in God, any other philosopher would say the same thing. Another problem with this view is that we don't need God to believe that murder is wrong. It's that a whole other lot of people have said the same thing, and it didn't work out too well. You don't have to go back very far in our history to prove this. In our own century, we've seen millions of people in communist societies and under Nazism kill about 100 million people, all on the face of their own law. And that doesn't even count the soldiers in the war. So we talk about God's law, protection. Don't get too confident about our own ability to figure out what's right and wrong without knowing that we have a higher authority. Too easy to be swayed by governments or ideologies or teachers. Even if you do figure out what is right and wrong, God is still necessary. People who know the difference between right and wrong do the wrong thing all the time. You know why? Why do we do the wrong thing in life? Why do you break the Ten Commandments? Why do I? Because we can. Can because we think no one is watching. But if we recognize that God is the source of our moral law, we believe that he is. Not only watching, but present as a father. So even if you're an atheist, or if you know one that is, you would want people to live by God's commandments.
They're not just an opinion. In the 3,000 years that they've been around as we have been on this earth, after giving his law, no other better system has been conjured up other than the Ten Commandments. That's why they're still proclaimed in stone in our Congress walls. Nobody can take that down. Nobody ever will. Now that was some pretty enlightening words from a Jewish man. What he's talking about is the first use of God's law. Anybody in catechism remember the three uses of the law as God's protection? The first one, it's a curb. It's a curb because, guess what, just like our children's message, God's law keeps us drawing in the lines. Keeps us in order from our own heart's desire wanting to go and do whatever we want. Because we don't know what's good for us. Sometimes we may feel like it. But eventually we're going to want to color outside the lines because we can. That's what we call the curb of God's law. It's how he protects us. Just like there's a street curb outside, if you didn't have a curb, guess what? You're going to end up going off-road. Hope you got four-wheel drive. Another thing. We talk about God's law as a guide. If you're driving through the roads today going home, you're going to see some lines on your road more often than not. We talk about God's law as a guide because we just proved it's not about telling us what's right and wrong. It's about how to help us live as his people. Explain why the third commandment or fourth commandment or fifth commandment is a good thing for us. It's a guide. But none of those things compare to the third use that God uses his law, the Ten Commandments, to protect us. Anybody want to guess what the third use of the law we haven't mentioned yet today is? Curb, guide, and what? Anybody shout it out?
Mirror.
A mirror. What does a mirror do? It shows us. It gives us a reflection. Guess what? If you didn't have a mirror this morning before coming to church, how do you think you'd look? You'd do pretty good, but there'd be a little hair in the back because you can't see it. Maybe your collar is unbuttoned back here. I don't know. Mirror shows us our sin. And that's why it's so important, because guess what? When we see our sin, we see our need for a Savior. God's law is so important to us because it turns us back to him. God's law is good as a protection for us, because way back when, God took his people out of the house of Egypt, and he takes these two stone tablets of his law and builds his people a new house. But we can see that these two stone tablets aren't just our salvation. We aren't saved by keeping the law of God, because guess what? None of us can do it perfectly. Except one man. Jesus, our Christ, our Savior, our Anointed One, is the only stone, the only rock in which we can stand, the only hope for a better life. And in him, we see the ultimate protection. He took the brunt, the full brunt of God's law, any part of God's law that would condemn us, and he took it and he nailed it to his cross. So you and I don't have to. Because we can't do it. And he fulfilled that law, and he makes it a good thing. Because when we listen to him, we look a whole lot more like Jesus. That's our invitation for you today. Return to the Lord. Return and see how he is protecting you, your kids at school, your family. Because if you don't teach your kids, your friends, your family about God and his love and his law, somebody else will. And I'd rather take God's word for it. So return to the Lord once more today and see his protection and his love in Jesus. Amen.